Morning, family. If God's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
We serve a very good God. We're going to do things a little bit differently as we get started this morning. We're going to do a little bit of reflection on how God has been good to you. So in front of you, in the chair, on the back of the chair, there's some note cards and a pen. I would like you all to grab one of those note cards and pen and have them either on a songbook or something hard that you can write on. So take a moment to get ready, get those out, get your pens, get comfortable. Once you have your card positioned, I'd like for you to write at the top of the card. I'd like you to write, "How has God blessed me?" How has God blessed me? I want you to fill out that card as much as you can and leave no area of your life, of your past, untouched. What are some of the things that have happened in your life, that are in your life, that you could point to and say, this was a blessing from God? Whether it was something in your childhood, the way that you were brought up, a school that you went to, a friend that you have, someone that's in your household, an education you obtained, financial stability, health, an experience that you went through, a trial that you overcame. What are some things that you have in your life that you can identify as a blessing? I'll give you a little while to reflect on this and fill out this card. There's plenty enough to fill dozens of cards or more. Just take a few moments here to think, how has God blessed you? Now, as the lesson progresses, feel free to keep adding things to the list as things might jump to mind or something else you can recollect that you weren't thinking about before. I want you then to write at the bottom corner of your card, I want you to write, why? Why has God blessed me? Why have these things come into my life? How come these specific experiences have taken place? Why was I born in this country? You know, all of these blessings that we have written here, I want us to start contemplating why. Why has God blessed me in this way? We're going to be looking at today that these blessings are an investment from God for his kingdom. These blessings that we have received are not wages that we have earned. They're not karma for good things that we have done. We have then been blessed in this way. We're going to be looking at how these blessings that are in our lives, all these, this huge amount of blessings that we have been showered with, these are not things that we have earned, that we have a right to, but these have been sent from God as investments for his kingdom and for his purposes. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 25. We're going to be in chapter 25 here for just about the whole lesson here. We're going to be looking at the parable of the talents. It's one of my favorite parables. I love to teach it. It's so practical and relevant for all of us. And so Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Let's read through here what Jesus has taught. He starts out in verse 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey." And before we go any further, the "it" here is talking about Jesus' kingdom and also his return. So, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he went and had 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I want us to process here and go through what Jesus is teaching in this parable. And to begin that, looking here at verse 14 and verse 15, we see the story, this parable, this teaching starts out with a master with his servants. And this is God, this is Jesus, and us as his people, as Christians, to use the things that he has given us as an investment. An investment is something that is given or placed in a specific area with the expectation that over time, what has been given will be received back, but also with an increase. And we see here that he gives his servants different amounts. He gives 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And we're told here in verse 15 that they are given each according to their ability. So that shows us that this master isn't just giving out random numbers, but he knows his servants so well. He knows what they're capable of, and he gives them, he invests in them accordingly because he is familiar and knowledgeable with all of his servants and equips them, not more than they can handle. He doesn't under-equip them, but he gives them exactly the amount in which he knows that they are capable of. We then see here that the item that was given in this parable is a talent. And a talent is a unit of currency that we don't use in today's society. A talent was a huge amount of money. It was usually like a bowling ball sized thing of silver or some other precious metal. And its value was equal to 1 talent was 20 years' wages, was just 1 talent. So in today's age, in our country, that's like roughly $1 million is 1 talent. So he gave to his servants, he gave one $1 million, he gave one $2 million, and he gave another one $5 million as an investment for while he was gone. So verse 16, we see the attitude of these 3 servants. The first 2 servants that we see described here, they said they went at once and began to trade with this investment that was given to them. And it's important to think about what does it mean to trade? To trade something, you need somebody else to trade with. You can't just trade by yourself. If you go out on an island by yourself with $1 million and you're out there for 5 years, someone comes and picks you up off the island, you're still only going to have $1 million. You're not going to be able to make more of that. You need to be able to trade and interact with other people. Or else you can't make more. So we see this mentality here. They went at once and began to trade. What they had been invested with instantly becomes connected with other people around them. And then we see the one talent servant, the $1 million servant, goes and buries this talent in the ground. And we're going to talk about that later on in the lesson. So after some time, the master comes back and settles accounts with them, is what we see here. That we see this intense moment where the master returns. And we see the two servants come forward bringing their investments, the fruit of their investment, where they've doubled the amount that was given to them. And we see some of the most beautiful words that we can ever hear in our own lives. Well done, good and faithful servant. But we also see some insight into how awesome our God is, because we see here, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much, enter into the joy of your master. And we see how rich and how wealthy this master is, where he looks at $5 million and he says, that's just a little, that's a little, I'm going to set you over much. So I don't know how wealthy this master is, but he's so wealthy that he considers millions of dollars just a little thing. And he says this beautiful phrase, which I'm still contemplating, trying to wrap my head around, of what how beautiful this really is. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who has all of this resource, all of this money, he says, come enter into the joy of my life. Come enter into the joy of your master. And I imagine if I was very good friends with one of the wealthiest people in the world, and he calls me up and says, hey, Mike, why don't you come hang out with me for a month down here and wherever? And I was like, okay, no plan, no itinerary, no idea what we're going to do, but I can only imagine, you know, money's no issue, we're going to have a great time. We're going to travel somewhere, go places, see things, do things, and I'm not worried about the details, I just know it's going to be amazing. Well, I don't really know all that heaven is going to be like and spending eternity with God the Creator and our Father. I don't know how that's all going to be, but entering into the joy of God, our Master, entering into the joy of our Master, Jesus, I don't know exactly what that's going to be like on a lot of different levels, but I know it is going to be good, and that is going to be better than I can possibly imagine. And so we see that imagery starting to form here. Enter into the joy of your Master, and he is entering in because he was faithful with what he had been entrusted with. We also see something important here, that the servant that had the two talents, who was also faithful with what he had been invested with, receives the very same reward as the servant who was faithful with the five. So it's not about how much you have been given, it is about what have you done with what you have been given. Somebody's cards might be a lot more full than others. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what do we do with the things that we have been given? So now we see here in jumping down to verse 24, the one talent man comes forward, and we see a judgment passed on this one servant. We see that this one servant was afraid and hid what was given to him in the ground. He went and dug a hole and threw the silver or the talent into it and covered it up. And people in his life, the people around him, those that he could have traded with, had no idea that he had been entrusted with $1 million. And he hid it in there, we're told, because he was afraid. He was afraid. That is such an important point, because when we make decisions based off of fear, we're not living a Christian life. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, we're told that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And we see that this servant, he was trusting his own instincts and his own feelings instead of the wisdom and foresight of his master. We're told here right at the beginning, he gave these different amounts, each according to their ability. So the master says, I see your skills. I see what you're capable of. I'm giving you $1 million. The servant takes the $1 million and says, this is really scary. That's a lot of responsibility. I'm going to play it safe. And instead of listening to the master who says, I can handle this, I'm going to say, I can't handle this. I'm just going to tuck this over here, put it away. And that mentality, which seems so simple and kind of safe, we see that mentality is called out by the master as wickedness and slothful. He didn't go and squander the money and go back and be like, hey, you gave me $1 million and now I have nothing. He said, I just hid it. Here's back what you gave me. And that mentality of fear, of hiding it, keeping it restrained, or keeping it covered up, is considered wicked. I think of wickedness as like cursing God, not caring at all about God, hurting other people, and murdering, and just living a completely godless life. This person acknowledged, hey, this is yours, and I'm giving it back to you. And look, here's yours. And that is being identified as wickedness and slothfulness. We see then the rebuke of the master saying, you knew that my intentions were. You knew that I was a hard man, that I reap where I have not sown. You knew what was expected. And then he tells him, you ought to have at least invested with it in the banker so that my coming, I would have received it with interest. You could have just put it in one place where it would have grown a little bit. And that's all that the master was at least looking for. But instead he hid it in the ground where no one had any connection to it. It's interesting because if you put it with bankers, you have to have had some sort of interaction with another person to put it in the bank. But the people in his life had no awareness that he had been given something from his master. You and I have all been given something great. You and I have been given something wonderful. God has given to us his Son so that we can have a newness of life, that our sins can be washed away. He's given us the church, that we can build each other up and that we can worship God, that we can be shepherded, that we can serve one another and confess our sins to each other and help each other in this life. He's given us this body. And then he's given us these things on our cards that we've just filled out, all these different people that have been connected to us, all these different experiences, all this different lifestyles that we've been exposed to. And he's given us all of these things. And we have to ask ourselves, why? And why has God given me these things? And what am I supposed to do with these things? Well, we are to understand that these are not wages. These are not things that we have earned, but these are things that God has given to us that we may then connect to other people in God's name to give him glory. I wanted to give you an analogy this morning, but it was going to end up being too messy and a little complicated, so I'll just tell you what I was going to do. I was going to show you how a lot of people think, where I was going to have a picture of a container here. And in this picture, I was going to have a rock, and I was going to have this rock symbolizes, you know, family, and put this rock in the container. And I was going to have another smaller rock, and this rock represents work and like occupation. And another rock or pebble represents, my hobbies. And another one would be things of my past, other dreams for my future. And you start filling up my container with all these different aspects of my life. And then I was going to have another picture of container that was going to be full of water. And this water represents God. And a lot of us think we're trying to get all these other parts of our life where we want them. And then we just like add God into this container that is our life. And then we fill it up to the brim. And we're like, okay, I think that's good. But that is a very bad way to approach our lives. Jesus tells us that the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. And if you think about it, there's nothing else outside of that. If you're putting all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength into something, there's no room for anything else. So really, the Christian walk, to walk wisely, not as unwise as Evan read for us here earlier, is to start with a pitcher empty, fill that pitcher up with water to the brim, to have God be our entire focus. And then what's amazing is then when you add family, you drop that rock into this full pitcher of water, that water, that rock gets completely saturated in it, and then that water just comes up out of the pitcher and starts flowing down the sides and running down the edges of the table and starts getting the floor wet. And then you add your work into it, and then your past and your future and your hobby and your dreams, and the more things you're pouring into it, the more water is just coming up out of this. Jesus says, out from his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Jesus says, or in Psalms we see that our cup overflows when God sits us at his table in the presence of our enemies. And so when we focus on God entirely, we understand that this whole life of ours is something God has given us. When he's our focus, we understand that these are not wages, these are something that we've been invested with, then God starts flowing out of our lives into the world around us. So the things on our card, the things that we wrote down, aren't things that we're just supposed to micromanage or things that we're just supposed to enjoy. We need to understand that this is part of the life God has given us, an abundant life. It's a very serious parable on a lot of different levels, but we also see here that it is of eternal consequence what we do with this life. Understanding that Christ has given us a new life, the only way to life, and what we do with it, what we do with this time that he's given us and these blessings dictates where we spend eternity. I try to think of it from God's perspective, where God's given us the opportunity to draw near to him. And he's given us the ability to connect to one another. And when we say, well, that's really nice, I believe that that's there, but I'm going to live my life as if that's not really there. And then when I see you, I'll acknowledge, yes, you are God. And good job. That's, how would God feel with that? And we need to make sure that we're living every day knowing that these are, that he has an expectation to use the things that he's given us as stewards, not owners. He's given us this life to broadcast and to overflow from ourselves the intentions of our master, to share the things that he has blessed us with so that we may return to him fruitful, that we may return to him and bring back to him the fruit of our work and our labor. We don't earn our salvation. By no means. The price has been paid exclusively by Christ. But God has given us an expectation on what we do with this life that he's given us. We have not achieved salvation or earned any of these blessings, but God has poured on us these blessings so that we may serve him in specific and unique ways. The director of the school that I attended, his name was Klein Payden. He passed away several years ago. He was a missionary in Italy soon after World War II, and they started an orphanage over there and had it really quite the adventure for the years that they were over there. When he came back and was getting ready to start the Bible school, the Sunset International Bible Institute, he went to an orchard. I believe it was an apple orchard, but I'm not 100% sure. And his friends were walking through the orchard there, and they realized that Klein wasn't walking with them for a while, and they look back, and they see him several feet away, and they see that he is just weeping. He's just crying. He's breaking down. And they came up to him, and they're like, Klein, why are you crying? What's going on? And he points up while weeping and sobbing up at this tree right next to him, and they look at the tree, and it's this apple tree, and they see that the branches on it are snapped at some areas, and they're like weighed down because there's so many apples on this tree that the branches are literally beginning to crack and break, and they're still being held up, but there's so much that it's at the point of breaking. And he's weeping because he tells them, I want to be like that tree. I want to be so fruitful that it's at the point of breaking me. And that really stuck out to me, especially reading this parable, that God has given us so much. I don't want to just do the minimal amount. God says, why don't you at least invest in the bankers? And so at my coming, I would have received with interest. And that's what is mentioned here, but I want to be where I bring back double. I want to, no matter how much I have, I want to bring back as much to God as possible. And so I want you to reflect on your card and add more things to your card that you filled out and think, God has given me so much. What am I going to bring to God when I see him? What am I going to be doing with this life that he has graced me to have? Your life and my life are not the same. We're supposed to be living faithfully and as individuals before God. You're going to have to answer him someday, and so am I, about how I have lived with the things that he has blessed me with. So this morning, I wanted us to always understand that we have a very good God, a God who knows you, and a God knows what you're capable of, and has equipped you adequately to serve him faithfully, and so that he knows what you are capable of, and that you can trust him. You do not have more than you can handle. You have exactly what you need to serve him faithfully. So with that in mind, know that you have a loving God, you have a mission to serve him faithfully, and I want us never to forget this investment of his, and may we always be fruitful for him. Let's stand and sing the next song selected.